Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 199 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined across the internet by Jacob Alka. Preston's missing in action once again, unfortunately. Actually, I haven't even heard from Preston in a few days. I hope he's alive. Last I heard from him, he's doing well. But Jacob, how are you?
I'm great, man. Good to hear your voice again. I miss you to bits.
Yeah, I miss you too, Jacob. It's been too long since we've joined forces in person for video. Rest assured, if you're listening to this on YouTube, it is on YouTube again this week. I apologize for the lack of the YouTube version the past few weeks. I have been so preoccupied with other things that I've literally not had a second to edit it, and it's actually a rather time-consuming ordeal, believe it or not. But we'll be back this week as we are recording on Saturday, which is very convenient for me. It gives me a little extra time to edit, so that will be taken care of. We appreciate the support nonetheless. And we also haven't had video because even if we were to shoot video, my room at my parents' house is completely dilapidated now. It's strewn about with all kinds of crap. They've been painting and stuff, so it's kind of impossible to record there anyway. So we are getting through it nonetheless, Jacob. It's good to hear your voice. How's your week?
Oh, it's great, man. It was a warm week. Very nice weather here in the great state of Georgia. I had a good week.
Well, it was nice up until last night and today.
Yes. Actually, yeah. Speaking of which, today is actually rather cold compared to what we've been having. We had like a big rainstorm on Friday, so it brought about a cold front, I believe. And I think it's going to be back to normal weather Sunday, so it won't be too bad. But I got a busy day today, so I'm glad we're knocking this out early. Because got a lot of stuff I need to get to, but it's been a good week. How about you, man?
Jacob, my week's been pretty intense as usual, but it was a good week. Been staying busy, working a bunch of video projects. I did a pretty fun photo shoot this week, too. I'm excited to share some of the pictures I took. It's a friend of mine from Brazil who's in town for 10 days or so, and we ran around little Five Points and took some pictures, so that was cool. Today's Saturday, so tomorrow we are wrapping that music video I've been talking about for a couple weeks. We got to shoot some more and then edit it way into the early morning of tomorrow before we turn it in. It's due tomorrow morning, so that'll finally be done. There's the train on cue. What else did I do? Mostly just went to school, work, and worked on 1,000 projects simultaneously, so
yeah.
That was pretty much it for me. Didn't touch games as usual. Won't be able to touch them until the school quarter's over, which is 6 weeks? 5 weeks? So a little over a month for me until I can touch a controller or a keyboard again, unfortunately, or a keyboard to play a game. So that's my life right now, Jacob, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Sounds great, bud.
Yeah, bud. My dude. You play games this week? I assume you did. You stream a lot.
Yeah, I beat Sekiro.
Oh, are you proud? Did you beat every single boss in the game or just the ones that kind of get you through it?
I have one boss left, and he's like he's a side boss.
Is it the headless or did you beat the headless?
No, he's a mini boss. Okay. I haven't fought any headless, to be honest. I think there's like four or five of them in the game. Okay. I do plan on going back and at least trying them. I'm not going to like sit there and like bang my head on them if I can't beat them because I don't really care anymore. But there is like one boss at the end called the Demon of Hatred.
The Demon of Hatred, huh?
And he spawns, I think, in the same battlefield that the first boss did. And there's like steps you have to do to unlock him and whatnot. But I've already done this, so I literally just have to go over there and fight him. So I'll probably do that. And I don't know if I'll stream it, but you know, I'll check it out, see what it's about. But the last boss of this game almost broke me, Garrett. Like I sat there and grinded for like 2 hours plus. It was grueling. I felt like I was never going to beat it. And then, miraculously, I just beat it. So,
you just got to rinse and repeat. The final boss to me, you said it was no joke.
Dude, it's no joke.
I'm proud of you for beating it, Jacob. You're an inspiration to us all.
Yeah. It just proves that even if a mediocre gamer like me can beat the boss, then anyone can beat the game, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. I wouldn't call you a mediocre gamer unless you're talking about your skill set, I guess. But I'd say you're a pretty significant gamer in my eyes, Jacob.
Thanks, Garrett.
Making waves there on Facebook Gaming.
Yeah. I actually sent out my first ad campaign this week, and it actually led to a lot of traffic. And I'm kind of intrigued and also proud of it. But I'm going to take that information and kind of, you know, restructure it and create a new clip and, like, you know, probably market it towards some other people and see how it does. I'm trying, like, it's kind of crazy, like, just looking at Facebook and, like, Instagram and itself, because they're both owned by the same company. Like, you can literally target. It's like kind of crazy how well you can target using their ad manager. Like, right. You can pick a specific location. You can pick a certain kind of people. Like, you can do crazy stuff to, like, target who you want to, like, see your content. Like, I had no idea, like, how in-depth it was. So I'm going through, like, a huge learning process right now. Of, like, how do I best utilize this to, you know, put content that I'm making in front of as many eyes as possible? So it's just kind of cool, like, going through that learning process this week. And it, in my initial attempt, it worked out pretty well. So I'm excited for the future in that.
Well, I'm excited for you, Jacob. I'm glad you're being consistent with it, because it will pay off at some point. I know it will. And you're growing steadily too, which is exciting.
Yeah. So, I actually had the best week I've ever had. So
that's awesome.
Not that I mean, of course I like set out to grow, but I also like, I don't just want to like sound like I only care about growing. Like I love the people that I have, and I always appreciate everyone that tunes in consistently. You guys are the best.
Right. And ideally you'd like to reach a point where you can kind of focus on that wholeheartedly if you could. That'd be
sure,
really
yeah.
cool. Even
yeah.
if it was only for like a period of time, it'd be fun to just do that for a while full time.
Oh yeah.
So I definitely envy the professional streamers that yeah. wake up and play games for a sure. large audience and just live life aside from that. Sounds great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish you the best, my friend, and yeah, I will
thanks,
always
man.
Be there to support you in whatever way I can. I feel bad. I don't think I've ever tuned into an actual live stream. I always catch like the either the clips or
the VOD
after the fact when it's already online. But
yeah,
I love what I've seen, my friend.
That's so part of the reason stuff. Also why I like Facebook, though, because like it literally just displays in your feed. So if you're just following me, you're going to see the video at the very least.
Exactly.
And that's just yeah. another eye. So.
Yep, I get my fill. You can believe that.
Yeah. But I also play a little more Apex. Got some more Victory Royales or whatever they're called. Still really loving the game. There's actually a huge patch this week, and I forgot to tell you about that. We should probably talk about that at some point today. I'll pull up an
article. Why don't you talk about it now?
I mean, I guess I could. I want to make sure I get things right. So let me go to the Reddit and pull up the patch notes, because I do want to do it justice, because it's a game that I kind of care about, and by kind of I mean a lot. Basically, I mean, I guess I don't have to pull up the notes, but well, I'm already here, so I'm going to do so. So basically, so a lot of people aren't playing the beefier characters, and by beefy I mean like the fat guys, like Caustic and Gibraltar, because of their hitboxes. Like, they are clearly a bigger target, Garrett. So basically it's like it puts you at a disadvantage to play them because you're easier to shoot. So people weren't playing them for the longest time, but this last week a patch went out and they kind of addressed some of these issues. They gave both Caustic and Gibraltar like a 10% damage reduction. So like when you're shooting them, you just do less damage to them, like 10% less damage, which in itself helps big time. But then Gibraltar, you know how he has that gun shield when you're aiming down sight?
Yes.
So basically, I think they added an even bigger buff on that. I don't know the exact numbering, because I'm not finding the patch notes on the Reddit like I did last night. They've disappeared for some reason. But yeah, he has basically two damage or reduction buffs. So Gibraltar actually looks like a promising character right now, which is kind of exciting, because for the longest, like I probably have like less than 10 kills on the guy. Like, I just never play him, and it's just exciting to, you know, have like a rejuvenation and like the roster in terms of like who I want to play. And they also buff snipers a little bit. I think they across the board they increase the firing rate. And speaking of which, the longbow, are you familiar with the longbow, Garrett? Did you ever use it when you were playing?
It's
yeah, the heavy yeah. sniper.
I did.
That gun is insane now. It is probably my favorite gun right now. And I like it just using the iron sights, because I was watching this streamer the other day on Twitch, and I was like, he kind of gave me a good idea of like where my cursor needs to be in terms of like when an enemy's in movement and like how long the bullet travel takes. So I took that information after watching him and like applied it to my own gameplay, and I was like, I was just mowing guys down Because, like, for the longest time, snipers have always seemed kind of mediocre in Apex, because it's not like, you know, you're in Call of Duty and you kill someone in one shot. Like, it's never like that. You have shields, like, guns take, like, multiple shots to kill someone in this game. So snipers always just kind of felt, like, mediocre because, you know, like, it takes so long to shoot them and you got to be super accurate. But after this recent update with the fire rate buff, it is, like, they feel, like, meta now. And it's really satisfying. Like, ideally, I would like to rock a longbow, fully decked out, of course. And then also, I still really like the R99 SMG. It's a good, just all-around gun. It has surprisingly good stability, at least on PC. And those are, like, the main things that really excited me about the patch. They made some adjustments to the Havoc auto rifle, too, which is, like, the energy weapon they added, like, several weeks into the game. It's the only gun they've added so far, but that gun, I think it has a bigger magazine now, so it's more on par with other ARs in terms of, like, because, like, you would used to use the Havoc auto rifle, and you, like, it doesn't have very many rounds, so you would always, like, and it takes so long to charge up. It just kind of felt like a hassle to use all around, but now it just feels like it's a really fun gun to use, especially if you have the turbocharger on it. It just melts, guys. And what was the other thing? I think they gave a nerf to the wingman again. I think they reduced the ammo capacity by like two for each extended mag. So you just have less ammo to work with for that, which is good. I think they need to keep tweaking the wingman until it's like not at a place where it's the best gun at like all styles of play. Because like you can like it's you can use it as a sniper, like if you're accurate with it, like it's just a deadly gun. And it's just a little pistol, you know, so I think they need to keep tweaking it and eventually it'll get to a good spot. But I think those are the big things. I'm still scrolling through this Reddit and I cannot find the patch notes to save me. But if I find them, I'll let you know if I missed anything.
But that's, you know, all what I have to say to all that, Jacob.
What, man?
You're doing a lamb that you understand.
Don't you understand?
That's I thought it was funny when you tweeted about like, man, we need more support on Apex, and then like the next day they released that patch.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
I mean, that was perfect timing.
But it's still like, it's not new content, you know. It's just like tweaks to the gameplay, which is great. Like that actually, like it makes me want to play the game more, like seeing new changes. But I want some content, man.
Content, man. I get that. We could use some more content on the It's Obvious Gaming YouTube channel. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe this summer, since I don't have school, I mean, I'm going to be working a lot, but maybe you and I can team up for some stuff here and there.
Dude, I'd love that.
This summer. I'd love to kick the YouTube channel back into high gear at some point, because I miss that dearly. I know we talk about that a lot, but I really do miss that so much.
I mean, if we lived together, it'd be a lot easier, you know?
Yeah, well, let's do this, though. I mean, we... which isn't out of the question, Jacob. Well, I'm not going to talk about it here. I'll talk to you about it later. But okay. My living situation may be altered slightly in the coming months or so.
Okay.
In a good way, in a very good way. But I'll mention that to you because if you want to move out, it may be the opportune time. Just okay. To let you know. So what was I going to say? I was going to say we have PCs and stuff. At the very least, we can play stuff online and make videos out of that very easily.
You're damn right, PC Master Race.
Amen, brother. I never thought I'd convert myself, but I am fully engaged, despite the fact that we have some killer PS4 titles coming out this
One's
year.
One's coming
next.
Out very soon, actually.
Yep. I'm pretty pumped about Days Gone. I can't believe that's a week away. Obviously, I can't play it in a week, but I look forward to getting my hands on that because it looks pretty freaking cool, man.
Yeah, I assume you're not doing the COG review.
I am not reviewing it, no. I am not. But I look forward to playing it because it looks pretty sweet and I hear good things. So hopefully those reviews are quite positive. But I'm trying to think of anything else I could add to your conversation here about games. I feel bad co-hosting a gaming podcast and I have nothing to contribute to the conversation aside from news.
It's fine, man. We all understand.
I will say, you know what game I'm really interested in that I hadn't even heard of till the reviews came out was that Katana Zero game.
Oh, yeah?
I think it looks awesome, man. Just visually and just gameplay wise, it looks like, you know, like a Melee version of Hotline Miami.
I don't even know what this is.
Like, it's like a cyber samurai type game.
Gotcha.
It's a side scroller. That's looks partly inspired by Hotline Miami, but reviews are really positive. It looks pretty cool, and it's on Switch and PC, I think.
Okay.
So it's worth looking into. It might be something to pick up next time I'm traveling somewhere. But
speaking of games that I wanted to play this week, I don't know why I just said that, because we weren't speaking about that. But anyway, I was looking for Dragon Quest XI on the Switch because I saw someone playing and I was like, you know, I really just want a really cool fantasy RPG right now. And, you know, people have been saying good things about it. I think Hooded Dude in our Discord has been talking about it, too. Shout out to you, Hooded Dude. But I was like looking for it on the Switch. Then I realized, oh, it's still not out on the Switch. Like, what's going on? That's where I want to play this game. I want to play it on the go. I want to play it while I travel. And, you know, I'm laying on my bed at night, stuff like that. I don't want to play it on the PS4. I don't want to boot up the PS4. I don't want to plug it into my monitor. I don't want to deal with all that. I just want to play it on my Switch. But alas, it's not here. Where is Dragon Quest XI, Garrett? Where's it at?
Jacob, I have no idea, okay? I am the last person to ask about that. I wish I had the answers, but I don't. That's what I'm trying to say.
I do too.
Well, I got nothing else, man. Nothing else at all.
Nice. I already talked about Captain Marvel, right? That was last week.
Yeah, you did. Okay. Endgame, man, this week. Thursday.
I know, dude. I'm excited. I still don't have tickets, so I should probably buy them.
Yeah, they're probably incredibly sold out for the foreseeable future.
I'm like at the point where I'm probably going to just go by myself.
I don't blame you.
And I don't even care.
Well, I got nothing, man. I guess I'll just jump into the news.
Let's do it, man. Hey, man, what's the news?
Okie dokie. Let's talk about Sony's next-gen plans. I'm sure everyone's read about this by now, but Mark Cerny actually divulged quite a bit about what will be under the hood of the PS5 in terms of specs. By the way, this comes from Jonathan Dornbush of IGN. Says, with an AMD chip at its core, the CPU is created from AMD's Ryzen line. Third generation with 8 cores of 7 Zen 2 microarchitecture. The chip also includes a custom unit for 3D audio, according to Wired and Cerny, which should work through TV speakers and surround sound, with headphone audio being the best option. PS5 using 8 cores Zen CPU and Navi-based GPU. GPU, according to Wired, is a custom variant of Radeon's Navi family. This GPU will allow for ray tracing. Well, cool!
Sick, dude.
The system also won't abandon physical media, so it won't be a download-only console, according to Wired. The biggest inclusion, according to Cerny's description, will be the inclusion of a specialized solid-state drive, one that Cerny told Wired has a raw bandwidth higher than any SSD available for PCs. We'll see how long that lasts. According to the publication, the SSDs are, of course, available in desktop and laptop computers, and can even be used as external hard drives for the PS4 and PS4 Pro. But Cerny is aiming to demonstrate that the PS5's SSD will allow for a new level of speed and performance. He also highlighted the capabilities to Wired by playing Marvel Spider-Man on a PS4 Pro, which had a 15-second load time for fast travel. Cerny then demonstrated the same load on the dev kit, which reportedly was a low-speed version that only took 0.8 seconds. So that's exciting. Cerny did highlight that the load times speeds are not the only benefit of the SSD. It can reportedly render worlds at a quicker pace and allow for quicker movement in game. PS5 will also support 8K gaming, but the demonstrations Wired saw were on a 4K TV. Following this reveal, IGN broke down why a lot of the pieces need to fall into place for true 8K gaming. So there's a lot more to it than that, but backwards compatibility will be included with PS4 games. So that's exciting.
Indeed. Seems like
and
a good
PSVR capability. And blah, 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 blah. But that's exciting. It sounds about as beefy as you'd expect for a next-gen console for PS4 jumping to 8K gaming, which I think 8K TVs might exist already. Preston would probably have a better
understanding of this. I think they're pretty
rare. But yeah, obviously they're probably incredibly expensive. But obviously with the rise of 8K TVs, the 4K TVs will be much more affordable at the very least.
Sure. But I wonder
many,
if like
many 4K TVs
planning.
Are already pretty affordable as is.
Yeah. But, I wonder if they're kind of just planning for the future in terms of that.
Yeah. Cause that's obviously not very common. I know many movies are shot in 8K. Like I know most of the Marvel movies, at least last I read, were shot in 8K for the sake of visual effects and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several 8K cameras on the market that I know of. I'm not an expert on resolutions and everything, but That's pretty cool. Aside from the resolution, though, I mean, I'm at the point, I know we've talked about this in the past, where I couldn't really care less about visuals and frame rates. Like, yeah, that's important, of course, and I'd appreciate, you know, a pretty looking game, and especially one that runs very well. But I'm more concerned with AI, I think, going forward. I think would be great to see just really intelligent AI in video games, because I've kind of had it with just really stupid idiots when I'm stealthing around in a game.
Yeah,
they're just complete and utter morons. So just, and not even just AI that's like aware of you sneaking around in the game, but just, you know, obviously I'm not a game designer by any means, so I don't really know what the answer to that is. Just AI that seems more realistic, I would say, and not so computer generated, I guess.
Sure. Well, to pick your brain for a second, like, do you like know of any games that do it better than others
that you can think of? Red Dead is pretty impressive, to say the least. Red Dead 2.
Yeah.
So not every game can live up to the caliber of Red Dead or a Rockstar Studio game, for example.
Sure.
But that AI is pretty impressive. That's probably the most impressive AI I've seen this generation. Mm-hmm. And you can only hope that it goes up from there. Next generation.
What was that stealth game? I think it's Bethesda published. Oh, God, what's it called? There were two games in the series. Crap, you impressed to love it. What's it called? I think it's Bethesda published. I might be
wrong. Talking about Dishonored?
Yeah, Dishonored. Does that game have good AI? AI?
Yeah, that's pretty good from what I remember. It's not awful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aside from the specs, though, there's no announced price, but Peter Rubin, the writer behind Wired PS5 piece, tweeted out some information following his article regarding a potential PS5 price point. Cerny told Wired that he believes, quote, we will be able to release the system at a SRP that will be appealing to gamers in light of its advanced feature set. So my guess would be $500 is my first guess.
You think 500?
I think to get away with those specs, but it also be consumer friendly. I think nowadays 500 isn't totally out of the question. Mm-hmm. Of course, 400 at like the PS4 price point would be amazing, but the console that beefy, I can't see it being less than $500. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's my guess.
So let me ask you this. So you're looking at the PS5 right now, and it's coming out, like, let's say in a couple days. Like, what would it take for you to buy it day one at this point?
No, I'm going to buy day one regardless, especially with the backwards compatibility. Yeah.
Even if there's
you know how Preston and I are. We get super hyped about hardware. I don't care what the price is. I'll pick it up.
Yeah. I have to have a good game, like, for me to buy it day one. Like, you have to give me Horizon 2. You got to give me, like, God of War 2. There's got to be a really high quality, you know, Sony first party game in order for me to buy this day one. Otherwise, I can just wait. I just realized that all my fans are running in my room. I should probably go turn those off.
That would be awesome me. Jacob, I don't think I have any other news. Anything that's even remotely relevant. Do you have anything?
Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Joker and Smash Bros.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Did you watch the trailer?
He's coming.
Yeah.
Is he already in the game or is that just a trailer?
Yes, he was put in Thursday, I think.
Okay, cool. Yeah, he looks like he fits right in just based on the trailer I saw. And even like his arena itself looks really cool,
the
too.
The arena is like so cool. Like I don't have the DLC. Like I haven't looked at it myself, but I've watched the trailer and I've seen someone on Twitch play it. It seems super cool. Like literally depending on what song is playing, like from like which persona, it changes the color scheme of the stage. It's really cool. And, you know, as everyone knows, the music in Persona is fantastic, so it just adds to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And his moves seem pretty cool. I think he has, like, a gun side. Or that's, like, his B, like, his gun. It's just his, for, like, peppering damage. He's got an up special, which is, like, a grappling hook. He has his little curse ability for his side B, I think. And then, like, he has this gauge where if, like, you, if the enemy, like, I think the more you get hit, the faster it fills up or something.
Yeah.
And, like, then once it gets full, you can summon Arson, which is really cool, which is, like, his main persona. And basically what Arsene does, he just powers up all his other abilities. So for like his curse ability, he just makes it more powerful and lasts a little longer, I think. His up special turns into like wings. So he's kind of like Pit, I guess, where he's just like a guy flying around. And what's his? Oh, yeah. His down is like kind of like a counter where like if you time it right, you can. I think you negate the enemy's damage by half when they attack you, and it also charges up that gauge more, so you can have Arsene more often. So that seems like the whole niche with Joker is just trying to keep Arsene up as often as possible, so you can do more damage and utilize his abilities more effectively. But I definitely think he's a cool character, and it seems like a pretty high skill ceiling to use him.
Yeah, he looks fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And it also, cool. He has that alternate costume of him in his school uniform, which is pretty cool.
That is cool.
I think they also added a stage builder, too. I don't know much on that front, but I expect there to be some pretty cool stages built by a lot of the Smash community. And I'll definitely keep my eye out for those, too. I am a part of the Reddit, or the Smash Reddit, so I see some of that stuff sometimes.
I'm cool. Yeah, I always like seeing what communities can come up with especially with map designs and stuff, or arenas in this case.
Oh, yeah. And cool you know, see. Like, that's coming from, like, the most hardcore of the players, you know? Like, they slave away at these games because they love them so much. So it's just cool seeing, like, that love for something being realized into an actual, like, stage. It's just really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Well, aside from that, Neil Druckmann tweeted, and just I guess Naughty Dog in general tweeted, that they shot the last narrative scene that was planned, at least for The Last of Us Part 2. And I figured, since we hadn't heard much in a while, that they were still in the thick of development. I have no doubt in my mind, there's no way Last of Us is releasing this year. If they just finished the last narrative scene that was planned, and consider that they might have to do reshoots, they may have more scenes they add. And they obviously have to add all the animation and design to these scenes that they've shot. So unless all the gameplay is set in stone and it's just all the narrative stuff they haven't shot. But granted, I feel like all the narrative is actually baked into the gameplay in Last of Us, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Or not entirely. I guess there are some cutscenes in the game, but I don't know how they're approaching it with this new one. But yeah, so there's I highly doubt that's coming this year. If anything, maybe like spring of next year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
What if they launch Last of Us 2 with the PS5? Boom. That's how you get me to buy the console.
That'd be cool, unless they consider it a PS4 game and it's just is even stronger on PS5, especially since PS5 is backwards compatible.
That's true. Like anything they're going to release like as a launch for the PS5, it's going to be on the PS4 too.
Yeah. I mean, it would make sense as a swan song for the PS4 as well, considering Last of Us Part 1 was one of the last games for PS3.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's really cool. I'm with you. I don't think there's any way this game comes out this year. Like you said, maybe spring. I would expect it more like close to summer, probably like, I don't know, June or July next year.
Yeah.
They should take their time too. Like, I want it to be as polished as possible, and Naughty Dog is good at that.
Yeah. So this is actually kind of funny. We mentioned we're going to talk about, do you say Notre Dame or Notre Dame?
I think it's technically Notre Dame, okay. But I say Notre Dame because I'm a filthy American.
Yeah, likewise. Speaking of that, there is a trailer playing in front of me of Unity, which is hilarious considering the age of the game and how we felt about it at the time. But it's kind of a hot topic this week after the destruction of Notre Dame.
Yeah, it's super
that
sad.
Fiery
like...
blaze.
I checked my phone Monday, like I was in the middle of my work day, and I was like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that's a bummer, because I knew of its existence, but learned about it in depth a couple quarters ago at school. Mm-hmm. We studied it for about a week, and it's pretty wild for considering its age and for it to be partially destroyed like that's quite a bummer.
For sure. And it kind of like, I thought this was funny too, like, you know, it's obviously like a tragic, you know, incident. Like, you never like to see an old, like, historic building like that go up in flames. But it's kind of crazy, like, how willing companies are to just, like, throw money at something. Like, for example, Disney, I think they've donated, like, I think $5 billion towards it. Don't quote me on that. It was a huge amount, but it just makes me like think, why aren't big companies like donating money for like, you know, other causes? Like, why are we spending so much money to restore like a building? You know what I mean? Like, there's like so many more bigger issues out there. Just kind of made me think a couple of days ago. I was like, is this building that important? Like, are there bigger issues in the world that we could be throwing money at? I don't know. It's just where my mind goes sometimes. But I'm not saying that the cathedral is not important. Obviously, it's very important for not just, you know, the history of our world, but, you know, just in people's minds, it's still an important building. But it's definitely a tragic thing to happen. And I assume they're going to rebuild it. I haven't really read up on anything, but I assume all these people are throwing money at it because it's going to be rebuilt. So we'll see what comes of it.
Yeah, we'll see. I thought it was good. Did you already mention Ubisoft? Sorry, I was distracted for a second.
Not really, no.
Okay,
I mean, it's cool that... Were you going to mention like they're going to use Unity to kind of help in rebuilding it?
Yeah, Unity. I think I read a headline somewhere they were donating a bit to the reconstruction of it.
Yeah, Ubisoft is.
So, good on them.
Yeah, sure. I wonder, like, I don't know. I wonder, like, how much that's going to really help, though, right? Because, like, I'm sure they have, like, a bunch of sources coming in, like, from all over the place that are going to help, like, make an exact replica. But I wonder, like, how much they're going to use AC Unity. And, like, are they going to have to, like, buy a new copy of the game? Or is Ubisoft going to, like, require a part where they can, like, literally just load up the game and it's going to be standing right in front of it, you know? Like, was there ever, like, a Unity, like, map explorer or something like that? Like a cinematic kind of thing? Because didn't they add that in a AC game? Like, am I crazy? Like, don't they have, like, a world viewer or something? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
I swear they added something like that. Leave it in the comments below if I'm crazy or, like, that's a thing that's in an Assassin's Creed game. I don't know. Like, I swear, like, you could just, like, have, like, a free camera and you could just move around and look at all the monuments. I don't know. I'm probably crazy. I'm going to stop talking.
Yeah, that's okay. Well, speaking of Assassin's Creed, Dexter Clark actually wrote in this past week and said, ooh, have any of y'all played the AC Odyssey's DLC Legacy of the First Blade? Shit is epic and very emotional. If you haven't played, some serious stuff happens to Lexios. It's very sad, but the story is very well written. Hope you guys come back soon. Weird not having the podcast start out of my week. So I guess Dexter believes that we don't exist outside from YouTube.
Yeah.
Outside of YouTube. So Dexter, I guess if you listen exclusively on YouTube, it does seem like we're missing in action. But we have been here every week, just only on Apple Podcasts and Spotify and Google Play and all that. Which, again, I apologize for. But I have not played Odyssey's DLC, nor have I completed the game, unfortunately. But I did like what I did play for about 10 or so hours.
Yeah.
I assume you haven't played that either, Jacob.
No, I have not. It's like one of those games that it's on my backlog. Am I ever going to get to it? I don't know, man. It's so freaking big. It's honestly, it's kind of intimidating to even just think about taking it on. I want to play it. I do, but it's just, I'm just like you, man. There's so much going on in life. I have to kind of be picky about what I choose to play. And, you know, that's just not anywhere near the top of the list right now, but I trust that you're I take your word for it, Dexter. I'm assuming it's actually a really good experience. So if there's any AC fans out there, definitely check out those DLCs if you have not already, because I'm not just Dexter saying it, but I've heard everyone that talks about it just loves it, especially Odyssey and all its DLC.
Yeah, I haven't played it, as I said, but I would like to get back to that one day, along with 50 other games I have to get back to. But Dexter, thank you for writing in, and we will be back on YouTube this week. Hope to hear from you. Any other news stories? I think you mentioned something that I'm forgetting.
Yeah, I think the only thing that I wanted to bring up was the Xbox. There's a new Xbox. The, what's it called? The Xbox One S All Digital Edition. I have an article here from Xbox. I'm not going to read it verbatim, but the bundle comes with Minecraft, Forza Horizon 3, and Sea of Thieves, which is pretty cool. And the Xbox itself is $249.99, which is kind of disappointing. Like, With the Xbox being this late in its life cycle, I kind of assume them to like release this all digital edition, but make it like super cheap just to entice more people to buy an Xbox, maybe. I don't know. But it's only like $50 cheaper than the standard Xbox One S, which is just in itself, like, that's a good deal for sure. But I don't know. I was expecting something else. So I guess this will be like a good, you know, if people don't have an Xbox yet and they really want to check out, like, I don't know, Gears of War, Sea of Thieves or something like that. You know, this just seems like a pretty good option. It definitely seems like with the new consoles, streaming and just online in general, in terms of focusing less on physical media, is going to be a big focal point for the industry going forward, especially with like the announcement of Google Stadia and whatever Microsoft is working on. So it's just exciting to see like kind of these little dominoes start to fall one by one in terms of that journey towards the all digital. Do you have any thoughts?
No, I think it's cool that they're doing that though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what is that? It looks generation, the same. Like the 10th Xbox they've come out with?
It seems like it, right? It looks the same as the Xbox One S. It literally just doesn't have a disc drive. That's the only difference. And the image that I'm looking here is white. I don't know if it's available in other colors. It probably is.
Yeah, obviously, this generation is coming to a close fairly swiftly, and I'm interested to see how that sells, considering people are probably waiting for the next big Xbox.
Sure.
Or what you consider like the real follow-up to the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's pretty cool that they're doing it, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jacob, we have no other news stories, unfortunately. It's a pretty slow week.
Yeah.
And I haven't been playing anything, so I feel like our next best option is to jump into community questions. How do you feel about that?
Oh, God, I love community questions.
Dude, me too. We got some good ones this week as well. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for writing in this past week and the weeks prior to fuel this latter half of the podcast, where we answer your questions directly. It's my favorite part of the podcast, and we are honored to have your support. If you want your questions read on this show, you can reach us in one of three places. You can email us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. You can tweet at us at @obvious_gaming. Or submit your questions in the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel. Now, all that being said, always include the hashtag #AskIOG so we know you want your questions read publicly on air. Jacob, that being said, the first one comes from Gimme Lucky.
Mm-hmm.
He writes and it says, "So boys, Mortal Kombat 11 is almost upon us. I know you guys aren't into fighting games too much. Did Mortal Kombat come out this past weekend or is it this following week?"
It comes out the beginning of next week. So when this goes live, it'll...
Okay.
I think it comes out Tuesday, I think, or maybe Monday. I have no idea. I don't care.
He says, "I know you guys aren't into fighting games too much, but this one looks fantastic. And I know Garrett has mentioned picking them up and playing them briefly. So I'm curious, are any of you picking up the game? Who's your favorite character in Mortal Kombat? If anyone is new to NetherRealm games and wants any tips or anything when 11 comes out, let me know." Well, give me lucky. Thank you for writing in. Along with everything else that's coming out, I don't have time to play Mortal Kombat, but I do recognize that it looks outstanding. And I love that trailer, that launch trailer that they just released with a remixed original song.
Yeah, it's a really good watch. Everyone should watch it if they haven't.
Yeah, I definitely want to play it. I just don't have time, but it looks outstanding, and I look forward to hearing the reviews and everyone's thoughts who's playing it. I'm going to tune in probably to some Twitch streams and some Let's Plays and stuff just to see it in action.
Mm-hmm.
I may even just watch a walkthrough series of the story since I don't have time for it, but I've been really impressed with NetherRealm's storytelling through both Injustice and even the previous Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, I definitely think like they're at the top of the pedestal in terms of the fighting game community. Like, I just feel like they make the best experience right now. Like, that's me as an outsider that knows nothing about fighting games. Like, just, you know, in terms of my interest in those games, if I was ever going to play one, that would be it. Not just because of like all the gore and all the cool effects that they do, but just it seems like they have a pretty awesome community. And also they regularly update and they always have good stuff coming to the game. So it seems like a good game if you love fighting games, which is not me, like I just said. I do like the fact that they like got someone like what's her name, Ronda Rousey, to not only voice act, but I think she does like what's it called, where they capture, was it like motion capture for the character?
Capture.
Yeah, for the character itself. It's Sonya Blade, right? It's not Cassie Cage.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I just think that's cool in itself. Do they do that for every character? Like, I'm probably asking you a question you don't know, but...
Probably for the main ones, I'd imagine they do. I mean, granted, all the characters are technically main characters, so I'm pretty sure they do performance capture for them.
Yeah. Leave in the comments below, like, how big the roster is, too, because I'm actually kind of curious, like, do they have, like, every Mortal Kombat character ever? Like, have they finished announcing them all yet?
I wonder if the past and present versions play any differently. I haven't read into that.
Yeah, because they did say they were doing like a whole time travel thing.
It'd be interesting if like the past characters had some of the original movesets from the old school games, or maybe like their fatalities were the old school ones, like reimagined.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. If I had to pick a favorite character, I've always really liked, I've always really liked Johnny Cage. I think he's always been really cool.
Yeah.
Baraka, of course.
Baraka.
What's the main guy's name?
Scorpion.
Yeah, Scorpion.
I like Scorpion, Sub Zero. I like
such a Mortal Kombat
Noob Saibot. Smoke's always kind of cool.
Yeah. Is Lizard in the game?
I don't know.
Lizard's always cool. Spitting that poison, that toxic.
Yeah, he's a toxic kind of dude. You don't want to hang around him.
But yeah, not a big Mortal Kombat guy myself.
Yeah, I've been playing Mortal Kombat since 8 or 9. I think 9. Maybe 8.
So not too long.
I dabbled in the original ones back in the day very briefly at karate sleepovers, believe it or not. We used to have sleepover, like slumber parties at the karate studio I took lessons at.
Did you guys used to karate in the basement, like where you were staying? Let's
no,
practice.
I mean,
it was
at the studio itself, so it was like on the floor we would train on. But someone would always bring whatever Mortal Kombat, PS1 maybe? I don't remember what it was, but they would bring Mortal Kombat with them. We played it a little bit. So that's my history with Mortal Kombat. Yeah, I won't be able to play 11 anytime soon, but it looks awesome. Next one comes from Wham Blam 53. It says, hello, newly found lovers of Trivium, I hope. Quick question. What game have you put the most hours into that you can think of? Mine is Rainbow Six Siege with 49 days, which equals a whopping 1,176 hours total. Man, that's impressive. Also, Band of the Week is Breakdown of Sanity. Want to hear some of the most neck-breaking breakdowns? They're the right band to listen to. I mean, it's in their name. Also, feel free to call me Kyler or the Tits, whatever soothes your boobs.
Hey,
soothes
what's up, Kyler?
Boobs.
Kyler frequently turns into my stream.
Oh, Kyler. Thank you for your question, my friend. And for tuning into Jacob's stream. That's an amazing feat you've accomplished with Rainbow Six Siege. I haven't played a game anywhere nearly close to that. I think the most hours I've ever put into a game is maybe 250, 300. And that's either between Hunt Showdown or Fallout 3, one of the two.
Mine is
both
definitely
of which I'm a huge fan of. I miss Hunt so much. I haven't played in forever, but I want to get back to it.
Yeah. Have they added anything significant to the game?
Yeah, there's a new boss, new weapons and tweaks to stuff. I mean, it's probably been changing so much that I couldn't even tell you what's new in it. But I know they're working on it pretty frequently.
I'm excited to hear your thoughts next time you play it. I don't know why, but like I'm not like crazy about playing it myself, but I love hearing you talk about it. It's just fun like hearing people talk about things that they're really into. I don't know. But what was the question again?
The game you have sunk the most hours into.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely WoW for me. I probably have put like a year of my life into that game.
That is very, it's very amazing, Jacob.
Probably not literally, but several months, I assume, of straight game time is...
I mean, since what year have you been playing that? Since 2005-ish, 6-ish? Before that?
I don't know, man. Probably 2006, yeah. Then I played it. Probably every day or close to every day through 2000. When did we graduate high school? 11?
11.
Probably like 12 or 13. I played like every day.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Something like that. Yeah. And then I played like off and on since then. But yeah, definitely that game. In terms of like a shooter, I played Black Ops 2 a ton. Like a lot. Also played a lot of Overwatch too, but not nearly as much as I did Black Ops 2.
Oh man.
I used to have so much fun playing Black Ops 2. It was such a good game.
Yeah, it was a good Call of Duty.
My favorite, actually.
Still to this day?
Oh, yeah.
Nice. That's up there for me, too.
What was yours again?
Either Fallout 3, which is probably the case, or Hunt Showdown. I'm pretty sure it's Fallout 3.
You sure it's not Halo? Halo 3?
Yeah. Well, maybe. Well, collectively, considering how much I played Halo 3 since 2007, yeah, probably is Halo 3. Good call, baby doll.
We haven't heard much about Halo recently. You expect to hear that at their E3?
I think of developing Infinite, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I hope we... you think it'll come out this year?
I'd love if it did. That'd be cool. At the very least, I'd like to see a pretty extensive beta of whatever they're working on. But anyway, Matthew Durkin writes in and says, "Hey, ya boys. Question about gaming / film and their narratives. What game / movies did the best job in the shit hits the fan scenario? Like Last of Us pre-Scruffy Joel, where Joel is carrying Sarah and the town is in chaos, where people are getting ripped apart, chaos is in abundance, but the player / viewer has a good spatial awareness of the scene and is not discombobulated with shaky cam or handholding. An example in film where it was terrible would either be the Resident Evil films. I swear the third film, about 100 zombies came out of a single shipping container. People were running around, but it didn't make any sense. Zombies were climbing towers, but they were not chasing anyone. Also, if you had to create one of these shit hits the fan scenarios, what aspects of filmmaking or video game techniques would you want to use? Would you want to use first person, or maybe your character has a broken leg or has to stealth around the chaos without too much hand holding? Y'all keep rocking my socks."
This is a crazy creative question.
Yeah, I am very bad with thinking of things on the spot, so I'd have to ponder for like 6 days to have a really good answer.
So basically, we're trying to come up with a intense situation in a game. Is that what the question is?
Or a movie? He's using the example of Last of Us as a very strong opening.
Yeah,
that's very coherent and makes sense and isn't too crazy, but you can understand what's going on. Very effective too. It's one of my favorite openings to a game of all time.
Oh, yeah. It's really good.
I know I've seen... I'd say a really good scene is when that ship in Infinity War arrives in New York. And everyone starts freaking out. The Avengers kind of walk out to kind of take in what's happening. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I remember in the first Avengers movie, too, again, when something appears out of the sky, I think it's that war pole, and all the aliens start funneling through into New York.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool, too. Above Stark Tower, which is now Avengers Tower.
I know I've seen something that really freaked me out in a good way like this, but I can't remember what it is. There's that scene in War of the Worlds when Tom Cruise is running through the streets and people are getting vaporized.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. I don't know, man. I can't think of anything else.
Where is this? Is this question on Discord?
No, it was on Facebook.
I need to look at it myself. I'm having trouble visualizing.
I don't know what I would do. I have no idea. What would you do if you're going to shoot a scene like this or come up with a scene where shit hits the fan?
It's hard because a lot of stuff has been done, you know?
Right.
I think it would be cool to this has probably been done, but I really like big battle scenes in movies or shows. For example, the battle last season in Game of Thrones with... Was it last season where Jon Snow was fighting? I'm not going to say who because that's a spoiler. But that big war scene, was that last season or was that the season before? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I was reading through Discord questions.
Gotcha. Hello?
Talking to me?
Yes.
Was that last season? A question?
Where Jon Snow, that big war scene. Was that last season?
You're talking about Battle of the Bastards?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was last season, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I want to, do that, but, kind of like break it down through the whole movie, maybe, and like incorporate a lot of flashbacks through storytelling. Like, and then it flashes back to the fight, you know, like kind of tells a story in that way of like it's kind of slowly playing out this war, but also like you're kind of like learning about how this came to be or like why things are happening through storytelling that's supposedly already happened, but you flash back to present day and, you know, shit's actually happening. I don't know. I think that'd be a fun idea.
If I had time to actually brainstorm this question, I'd have a good answer, but sure. I don't, unfortunately. But Matthew, thank you for writing in. And Last of Us really is one of my favorite openings to a game of all time, and I think you're right in saying it's an excellent example of something that is effective when shit hits the fan that's not too chaotic and discombobulated.
Don't forget the question that I sent you via text message.
Why don't I read that right now? Let's see. Oh. Where is it? Almost got it. Did you send me a picture?
Yeah. It was a DM. What?
Oh, on Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I put it in our group chat, actually. Me, you, and Preston.
Oh, that's where it is. Okay. Alrighty. Who's this from? Oh, Simon.
Yep.
All right, Simon writes in and says, hey, I have a simple question. Well, I have a simple question for you guys. My favorite gaming series has always been Ratchet & Clank. Do you guys have any experience with the game? And if so, what game is your favorite? Love you guys, and I've been tuning into the It's Obvious Gaming for at least 1.5 years now. Whoa. Keep going with the hard work. Outside the question, I'm a bit drunk right now, and I'm not sure if it's into the DMM is the right place to send a question. Okay.
It is.
Simon, I would say I'm a new Ratchet & Clank fan. I never played the originals, but I loved the remake and kind of reimagining that Insomniac did with the first game on PS4. And that's by far one of my favorite PS4 exclusives. It's one of the first ones I recommend to when people pick up a PS4. So I'm a new Ratchet & Clank fan, but I loved what Insomniac did with their remake. So that's all I really have to say, but I look forward to hopefully more Ratchet & Clank next generation. I'd love to see just a brand new game in the series would be cool.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, but that's probably the best Ratchet and Clank experience now is probably that new remaster. It's really good. If you guys haven't played it on PS4, what are you doing? Go play it.
It's a great platinum too.
Yeah. It's not too hard either. It's very easy. And I really love Going Commando, which was the sequel to the original Ratchet and Clank. It's a really great game. And that's all I have to add.
Nice.
Any more questions?
Yeah. We'll do two more. Kyle writes in and says, Bohongales, Bohongales. Get your GameCube controllers and shit talk ready, boys. Joker is here and ready to steal the... I swear. Why is it every time we talk about a news story, I always forget to read Kyle's question that's relevant? Kyle, please forgive me, dude. Mark my words, this is the last week I let this happen. I'm so sorry. Joker is here and ready to steal the competition's hearts. What do you think of his reveal and mementos as a stage? I personally love the amount of detail and references they put into his design. From the end screen being the bit being the same from the end battle in the game to his attacks having heavy red and black contour, to having the all-out attack as his smash attack. Also, mementos is a love letter to the Persona franchise as a whole, and I love it to death. My other question is, how do you guys feel about the way Nintendo has been dropping content this generation? I really like the sudden nature of most of their info drops. Keeping it fucking sexy and always keep the homoerotic tension strong makes me steamy. Also, I've been hearing good things about this show with some guy with a shield, but I can't remember the name. Maybe you guys can help me out. Is it called Rising of the Shield Hero? Is that what it's called?
No, that's not it, no.
Okay.
I think it's like Dragon Ball Z or something, dude.
Oh, okay, that's Yu-Gi-Oh, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yu-Gi-Oh GX.
Yu-Gi-Oh Gold and Silver version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like we said earlier, the Joker stuff looks awesome in Smash, and you're right, it does look like a total love letter to the fans, and it's gorgeous to behold, to see him in that setting, and it just totally fits what Smash is all about, so
yeah, I think it's an
excellent addition.
Outside of maybe Cloud, I think this is like the best DLC character ever. I think Joker's perfect for Smash.
Absolutely.
And just like all the stuff they added on top of it too. Like, and like, yeah, have you seen his, I forgot to say this, his ultimate in Smash is literally like, you know how like they do like that final, I forgot what it's called in Persona, but like where they all attack the enemy and finish them off. It's like,
yeah, Kyle mentioned that. That is super cool to see.
Yeah, it's so satisfying. And it's just like, it fits so perfectly. It's awesome.
Doth indeed. Other question. How do you feel about the way Nintendo's been dropping content or information this generation?
You mean like for Smash or just in general with their directs?
In general.
I think it's working pretty well. They have like a steady, like they do a few every year in terms of directs. They've been a little quiet this year in particular. Last year was kind of slow too, but I think overall they're doing a good job of like every year there's like a big title that's coming out that's going to push units and also sell a lot of copies and that Nintendo fans really love. And that's no, like, that's not going to stop this year. I mean, we got Fire Emblem. We have that Zelda game. What's it called? Link's Awakening, I think. Am I right? Yes. Is that the right one? I always forget which one it is. And then there's something else. Pokemon. That's what I'm missing. Pokemon and Animal Crossing are coming out this year. And I just think they're doing a really good job of, like, pushing out their big titles and, you know, giving people more reasons to own a Switch. I've been impressed so far. They're a lot better than the Wii U, obviously.
Yeah, I think Nintendo's going to wind up influencing the other big companies too. Like Sony seems to already be taking that approach with their new What do they call it now? Like I can't even remember what they call it. State of Play. Yeah. That's essentially a Nintendo Direct. I kind of like that style too. As much as I love like big conferences and stuff. I think it's inevitable. I think everyone's been saying this at this point, but it's inevitable that it's going to wind up being mostly Nintendo Direct type of content that gets information out there.
Perhaps.
And of course, there will always be a time and place for big events and conferences. There will always be a reason for those from time to time. But I like the way Nintendo does it, and I think it makes sense for everyone else to, at the very least, try that from time to time. And just gets it across. Probably significantly cheaper, and the information spreads like wildfire too.
Oh yeah, especially with the age of social media and whatnot.
Exactly, so much more effective. It's a shame that Sony will not be at E3 this year, but State of Play works for me just fine.
It sucks we won't get to see Reggie anymore. You saw that he was retiring, right?
I did see that, yeah.
And yeah, I think he just made a Twitter account, and he had like an insane like following already. Like he just everyone follows him because everyone loves him.
Yeah, no surprise.
He's been
there.
Posting pictures about just stuff in his office and saying his goodbyes and stuff. It's kind of sad, but it's also just really cool to see.
Yeah, absolutely. But Nintendo, man, they're on fire. I see most companies. I'd say even Microsoft and Sony. Everyone's pretty much on fire right now, and I hope they can maintain that going into the next generation.
Yeah, I think the industry is in a good spot right now. Probably the best it's ever been.
Aside from all the yammering on Twitter and whatnot about people whining about everything, aside from that, it's in a good place.
That is the internet, my
Sometimes
friend.
Whining for good reason. I won't take that away from people, but there's a lot of drama going on. But overall, state of the industry, I'd say you're right. It's in a pretty good place. So we're ending on a high note here with Carlos's question, Jacob. It's a grand finale.
All right.
He writes in and says, marry one, fuck one, kill one, GameCube, 360, and PS4.
Okay. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Okay. So marry, fuck one, kill one.
I
would marry the PS4, obviously, because God, there's just so many experiences on the PS4. You got to experience them for the rest of your life. You can't just be one and done with those. I mean, we got Last of Us, we got God of War, we got Horizon, we got more that I can't even think of right now, like Bloodborne. There's so many great games. I would fuck the GameCube because there are a lot of GameCube games that I just never played because I didn't own the console and I want to go back and play them because there are a lot of great classics on that system and I just don't have one and I want to experience it. So I would fuck it for a night just to experience all that stuff. I would kill the Xbox 360, mainly because I don't have a big history on it, And I just don't really... I played a lot of Black Ops 2 on it. I played a couple of single-player games that were really memorable for me. But overall, I don't think it would be that big of a deal for it to just die in my life, you know?
So I get that, Jacob. In my case, I would kill the GameCube. I loved the GameCube when I had it, but I feel like I've had my fill. So I'd kill it. I would marry the 360 because it just has an exuberant catalog of titles that I have not only a grand history with, but many of which I never even got to. And many of the ones I loved on 360, aside from the exclusives, were multi-platforms. You kind of get the best of everything on 360, and it has one of the best controllers of all time. So I could see myself being very satisfied with the 360 for the rest of my days.
Some would argue that the GameCube is the best controller of all time, though.
That's a good one, but I'm more of a 360 controller guy myself. But GameCube, I will not undermine. It's also excellent, but it's dying, unfortunately. And the PS4, I would have a one-night stand with, because although I adore it, it has an unbelievable catalog of exclusives this generation. I have played all the ones that I care to play, and I can't imagine myself really going back to them as much as I enjoy them. So I'm kind of looking ahead for Sony's exclusives versus looking behind, whereas 360... although I've exhausted those titles too, there are many of which I never got to. So I think I would live a long and prosperous, happy life in a relationship with a Xbox 360.
That makes me happy.
Yeah. But Jacob, that's going to be it this week. I apologize to the community. It's a little brief. I got to go to work soon, and the news was minimal, but we cannot thank you enough for tuning in as always, nonetheless. And you can count on the YouTube version this week. If you're listening to it there, obviously it made it, which is exciting. But love you all to bits, and I look forward to next week, and hopefully we'll get Preston back for episode 200. It's a big milestone. We got to do something different, I guess, for 200 to celebrate it. We'll think of something.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I think we need to be on video for that. Regardless of where we shoot, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, I agree.
So yeah, but I mean, 200 episodes, that's wild. I know going into 200, this is a rather mediocre week, but I can't believe we've made it to 200. It's wild.
I thought this was a good episode. We talked about all the big topics. There was a lot of cool stuff to talk about this week. In terms of signing off, follow me on all my social media at Jocka27. And thank you guys for listening again. Had a good time talking to Garrett today.
Yes, likewise, my friend. I'll talk to you again soon, and we'll talk to you guys as well. Please comment down below if you have anything to say on YouTube. We'd love to hear from you, as well as on Discord. And follow us on all social media at It's Obvious Gaming. And if you're willing to take a few minutes out of your day to rate, review, and what is the other thing? Rate, review. Oh, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. That would help us out tremendously. Even if you never listen there, really helps us out.
Yeah.
But that'll be it. And we hope you all have a very blessed and prosperous week. And we'll talk to you again soon.
One more thing. Leave questions for episode 200. If you want to be on the historic episode 200, leave a good question.
I agree. Yeah, that's big. We'll even take extra time to answer additional questions on 200.
Yes.
See, it didn't have to be about like the milestone itself. Just like, it's a good week to answer a bunch of extra questions. So we encourage that. Good call, dude.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We will talk to you again soon. See ya.
All right. See ya.